will, please turn again to this evening to the book of Numbers, chapter 3. We appreciate the privilege of being with you tonight, and thank you for coming, beloved. Trust the Lord will very graciously hear our prayer and blessing to our souls for His pleasure and His glory. Remember the meeting, if the Lord be not come, then tomorrow evening, here at 8 o'clock, and Wednesday and Thursday in Fairview at the same time. Do remember these meetings before the Lord. Chapter 3 of the book of Numbers, and we will read, please, at verse 1. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord, and they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. Verse 12, And I behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, Number the children of Levi, after the house of their fathers, by their families. Every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number them. Look down to 21, please. Verse 17 gives the names of the three sons, and these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. Verse 21. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites, those that were numbered of them according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, even those that were numbered of them were 7,500. And the families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. And the chief of the house of the father of the Gershonites shall be Eliasaph, the son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle, that is, the tent, and the tent, that would have to do with the tent work and the building of the boards, and the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the curtain for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and the cords of it for all the service thereof. Verse 29. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward, and the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites shall be Eliezaphan, the son of Uziel. And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they ministered, and the hanging and all the service thereof. And Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. Verse 35, and the chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. And under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serveth thereto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel. Verse 40, and the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. Verse 47. Verse 46. And for those that are to be redeemed, of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole, after the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Chapter 8, please, for a few verses. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Verse 10. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. Verse 19, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. Verse 22, and after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. May the Lord graciously bless the reading of these passages from the book of Numbers. Now I would like to try and notice, if I can, helpfully, I hope, and encouragingly, a little concerning the work of the Levites and the Levites themselves and their relationship to holy things. For those of you who are younger, you dear younger brethren, and we trust that you younger brethren, can I say to you kindly here tonight, we appreciate you in the assemblies. We don't want to spoil you, because whenever you spoil a man, you make a brat out of him. We don't want any spoiled brats spiritually, but we do appreciate young men because God has given you to us. And what we would desire to do, if God will help us, and young sisters as well, and I do not exclude you, my beloved older brethren, and I speak with respect to you because many of you are older than I am, but I do wish to try, if I can, to lay emphasis upon the coming responsibility of younger brethren whom God has saved, taught the truth of gathering unto the name of the Lord Jesus, and they have taken that place, and we thank God for both their courage and their desire to do so. But when you are studying in relation to the book of Numbers, you need to keep it in the setting of the first 5 books of your Bible. Because God has a pattern. And he's teaching you something. He's teaching me something. He wants me to get my eye on it. Don't just read Genesis chapter by chapter. Read Genesis, and you'll see a pattern. God begins with a man in chapter 2. A man called Adam. He made him. God has something in his mind. He has something he's going to show us. He's going to make something out of a man. And only God can make. That man failed God. God takes up other men. 7 of them, in fact, prominent men in the book of Genesis. You know what he is doing? He's painting a picture for us of a man that's in his mind and in his heart. The son of his love. The eternal son to become incarnate. And he wants us to get little glimpses of the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's looking at. And he shows us Adam and begins and works through until he comes to Joseph. And when he comes to Joseph, he causes even the Pharaoh of Egypt to give him a title that was really in the very heart of God himself, the Savior of Egypt. That's what God had in his mind. He wants us to get glimpses of the Savior, the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus, in beautiful aspects of his own person, unique to himself, is found in that book. But the point of Genesis, and I want to bear out with you before you tonight, is God is providing a Savior upon whom others must become dependent, other men. God is going to show in a man the greatness of his purpose in delivering a people and bringing them to himself so he may enjoy them and they may enjoy him. And of course that leads us to Exodus. Now God's choosing the people. Going to save them. You know the book of Exodus. But can you see the pattern? First God presents Christ, showing the Lord Jesus to us. What a marvelous feature of this blessed book. Oh, dear young brother and young sister, study it thoughtfully. Take a hold of your Bible and read it thoughtfully. Not 15 minutes before the Bible reading and look at verse 14 of chapter 16 and something like that and get all tangled up in there and begin with Abraham and end in Revelation. That's not studying your Bible. Take a hold of God's Word and ask God to show you the pattern that He's put in it. And that's what He's going to do right through those first five books. They are beautiful books. And when we come to the third book, He's taking those people that He has redeemed and emancipated from the bondage of Egypt, and He's bringing them into a sanctuary near to Himself. Now God is getting the people to where He wants them, near to His heart, and to show Himself to them and enjoy them. And those very same people, they're not always going to be in the sanctuary. That's Numbers. When we come to the book of Numbers, God is going to speak to those people and say, I want to use you. I'm going to employ you to be a monument to my praise. I'm going to give you a pattern for your work through this wilderness, passing through the boundaries of enemies' lands. They're going to surround you. Enemies will be there. And brethren, we are very, very much aware enemies are all around our footsteps. And whenever we become negligent, recognizing the enemy and his work, that's when we get into trouble. We need to remember, that's the picture. God says, now I'm going to use those people. I'm going to enjoy them in my service. Did you note the five times that God said of these dear Levites? They shall be mine. They shall be mine. Oh, beloved, I trust that God will put it into your heart tonight. And you who are younger here, may the Spirit of God write that right upon your heart while I speak it to you now. He shall be mine. God looks into your face, my dear young sister. He says, she shall be mine. Not only possession, but God has a definite desire to enjoy that person whom He has redeemed and sanctified unto a work that no other person would interrupt, that they would not be allowed to. It's my work, says God, and it's my priesthood they're going to serve, and it's my people they're going to serve, and it's my tabernacle they're going to serve, and they are mine. God enjoying them, even, it may be some young mother will say tonight, I don't know what joy God gets out of me, for sure I'm pulling the hair out all day long, it seems, and maybe the Father is thinking the same. And some of you who are older, and you have the pains in your body, and you can't do what you used to do, and the frustrations of such a situation, you know what they are, and you wonder what God gets out of it. My brother, let it be written upon our heart with precious tonight, He shall be mine. And God never relinquished them. He chose them. He enjoyed them. And He wanted to use them. Now when He comes into the book of Deuteronomy, God is going to put into the hands of those people principles for their social living. He's going to show them principles that will govern their lives, to give them fruitfulness and joy and peace and rest. And that's what God wants His people to know. Fretfulness of our world is not God's mind for us, brethren. We must remember that. The awful fretting and fears that surround the world without our God is not God's mind for me or for you. Not even when you're on your back. Growing, sister. No. That's not God's mind for you to threaten. God's mind is to have His people at rest. He gives them principles by which they govern their lives and govern their social activities. And from there, God brings them to the border of the inheritance He wanted to give them. Beautiful pictures are in those books. You read right on, look right on through Joshua and the Judges, and God brings us into the books of experience and history. He begins to record the history of the people whom He has redeemed and led and guided and preserved and given inheritance and given the men to guide them. And then He gets the history. Ah, beloved brethren, God has a pattern for you in your life
as well as he has a pattern in his room. But let me come back to these Levites. Yesterday afternoon, we sought to notice a little concerning the four banners that were given to the 12 tribes of Israel. The banner of Judah, and the banner of Reuben, the banner of Ephraim, and the banner of Dan, picturing the Lord Jesus in all the uniqueness of the place of preeminence that God has given to him. Now, while we did not take time yesterday to try to note some of the aspects of the position of these banners in the camp, I would like to try to note, if I can tonight a little with you, how the Levites are linked with these banners. Those banners that speak of the kingship of Christ, you will recall, and the sonship of the Lord Jesus, and the lordship of Christ, and the judgeship of our beloved Lord. Beautiful features that are unique to him. No one else. He's incomparable in his person, and in all the fullness of the offices which he fills, we bless God who stands in the solitude of uniqueness. There is none to be compared to him. And linked with the loftiness and majesty and the glory and the radiance of all the greatness of the glory of Christ as he officiates and fulfills all the greatness of the responsibility and blessing linked with the offices of being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, and the Judge of all the earth, all the blessedness, yea, Judge of the universes of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. In all that fullness, here is a people, and God says of them, they're mine, I'm choosing them, and I'm going to with that blessed banner, that name that governs the people of Israel, which they rally to, which they follow, which they uphold. Can you see those banners fluttering in the breezes, brethren, as they make their way through the wilderness? I find that a delightful sight. And I can truthfully say to you tonight, it gives me joy in my heart to realize in divine purposes, I'm in that parade. And so are you. That's where God has not only a position for you to fill, but he has a place for you to enjoy. My dear brother, I can remember one time when I was a boy in high school, and I only went for one year in high school. I guess I was called a dummy. But the year I did spend in high school, I was in what they called the cadets. And I can remember the very first parade that we went, and I thought that was the greatest thing there ever was. They gave me a drum to play, and I didn't know how to play. But anyway, they gave me one. I was supposed to have learned. He did it anyway. But here I was marching in this parade with this drum. And I remember the day I saw my mom and my grandmother standing on the corner. Well, I was half ashamed in one way, you know, I really was. But the other way, I was really. I thought, here I am. Married, as my hat was straight. And I knew that. I made sure of that before I went out. Everything was in order. And I had shined the brass too. I had. Were shine. Yes, they were. So was the belt buckle. They held on the drum. Everything looked good. As I passed by them, I kind of watched them on the corner of my eye, and I could see my mom standing there, you know, kind of a half a grin on her face, and I knew what that meant. She felt kind of half proud of that boy. We all brass shine, and there he was walking in the parade. There was a certain amount, what will I say, of satisfaction. Such a silly little thing. You understand I'm acting infantile, aren't I, when I talk that way. But nevertheless, can you see the simple point? There was a measure of just satisfaction in knowing the buttons were shining. And I wasn't ashamed to walk there. And I did my best if I missed a note or two. Nevertheless, I tried my best. Listen, my beloved. Dear saints of God here tonight. God looks down upon you and me. In all our confessed weakness, and the smile of pleasure is upon his face when he recognizes that you are seeking just to fulfill the place that he has given you. Oh, the preciousness of it. That's a reality. My dear young brother, let not the world distract your vision. My young sister, don't let the devil cause those arrows of doubt to
inflame your little heart with fighting and fears, for God has looked upon you.
He says they are mine.
And he gives them a position in relation to these banners. And you can watch them as they move through the wilderness. And they're portraying the wisdom of God and a glory that the world did not understand. People who were slaves, look at them. Look at the order of them. Only 3 months away from that land of Egypt. And look at them. The beauty of the sight. Poor old Balaam, as they come towards the end of their journey, as that wretched old man looks down off that mountain with King Balak with him, and sees the order of the camp, and watches them move. He's overcome by it. God is joyful in his people, even though they had sinned and murmured and faltered and failed. Yes, as we have, brethren, that God found pleasure in them and he said so. After 38 years, he said beautiful statements concerning his people in the midst of them. He adds these words again. And they are mine. Oh, brethren, that is what is in the heart of God. The pleasure of seeing his people as they move in keeping with his plan. Now let us look a little at this plan for just a little while tonight. 3 things are before me. First of all, I would like to notice the calling of God in the Levites. And secondly, I do want to try to notice a little their consecration in the work of God and the charge that was given to them from God relative to their labors. If we are not able to touch that, if the Lord will, I do wish to notice the labor of the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites tomorrow night, if our Lord be not come. But first of all, let me try to note with you, and keep in mind, if you will, beloved, those banners. Because all is going to center around that. That is what is before my heart tonight, I hope, to see the link of these Levites with those 4 banners that portray the glories of our beloved and exalted Lord. First of all, note the calling of these Levites, who they are. And then I would like to notice where they camp, secondly, as we notice the call of the Levites. First of all, who are they? Now verses 1 to 6 of chapter 3 shows us that they are the tribe of a priestly family. There's a link with the priest. 3 times we read in this passage, brethren. May I just bring it to our memory for a moment. Because it's the chief thing, it's the primary thing in the calling of these people. God says about them, I'm giving them to Aaron. I'm giving them to Aaron. From the same tribe. Ah, my brethren, there is a link with the high priest. That's the very first link. A link of Levitical service, as we're going to try to note tonight, has its first link with the high priest and with Moses. He brings both of them in. Moses is the apostle to Israel. As Hebrews chapter 3 reminds us, Aaron is the high priest. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 3. He translates that to the Lord Jesus, the apostle of our profession. And the great high priest of our confession, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first link in relation to the call of these Levites, God has chosen a tribe out of those 12. And he says, I'm going to separate them for myself. I have a very definite pattern of usefulness for their life. And the first thing I want you to notice about them is they're linked with the high priest. My brethren, not only is that sweet, but that is essential. That's essential for your appreciation of usefulness for God and mine. We are linked with the high priest. And without that link, brethren, without that link, we would not have acceptance with God in our service, nor would we have the link of life in relation to our acceptance and calling by God. It's not only precious that we're linked with the Lord Jesus, it's essential, brethren. And that is necessary as you move through the epistles. You recognize, as Paul, for example, when he's writing to the Colossians, when you come into chapter 3 and look in chapter 4 likewise, and you see how Paul brings in the service and reaches into the assembly activities. First he's dealing with teaching, and then he translates that teaching into its practice amongst the saints, and he brings in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the first link, brethren. That's the first honor. We're linked with the high priest. Who are the Levites? They're only Jewish people. That is to say, I'm saying only Jewish people in the sense that they were not any different than the people of the tribe of Benjamin, or of the tribe of Reuben, or of Judah. But God chose them. They're linked with the priesthood. That's the Bible link. That's God's choice. He didn't take the tribe of Dan and say, I'm going to give them to Aaron. He takes his brother of the same tribe and he gives them unto the high priest. Who are the Levites? They're those brethren tonight in this little audience. Young ones particularly, can I try to point my finger at you tonight and say to you, you who are linked with the great you who are linked with the man of God's right hand, inseparably linked with him, praise his name. He is our acceptance. Yes, he is absolutely vital to our usefulness. And the fact that you're linked to him, my dear sister, you are near. Note the second thing that God brings before us. In verses 1 to 6, it's the tribe of the priestly family. When you come into verses 40 to 49, for example, we have the tribe that is linked with redemption value. Now there are three values relative to redemption. That are mentioned here. Let me try, if I can, to emphasize not only the fact that we are redeemed. There's more than that here, brethren. It's the value of that redemption that's going to give character to their choice in service. Note the three things first of all. The firstborn, and then the shekel, and the redemption money. Three things are linked with these dear Levites. God points it out. My dear brethren, the great reality of being redeemed has these three elements in it that characterize our service, our calling. First of all, by birth, the firstborn is supplanted by a Levite. God says, give me the Levite. I ask for the firstborn. God is taking the firstborn not only as the heir, but he's the son of choice. He is the son of the Father. That's the picture that is there. The first one, the pride and the joy of his own Father. He's the well-beloved one. And God says, and he said, I'm going to put a Levite for a firstborn. And let us see if there's any left over, if there are any firstborn left over, that is, by number, if there's 1,000 Levites and there's 1,014 firstborn. In fact, we do have the numbers here, but I didn't memorize them, so I'm not saying the right ones to understand. God says we'll take the difference and we're going to redeem them with money. But here's a life for a life. That's the two things God brings up. He says the firstborn that died and the firstborn that lives. And my dear brother and sister, your calling of God and mine in Levite service is life for life. I hope that mocks my mind and my heart. Your work for God, my dear young Christian, is not an option. It's life for life, death for death. It's not only linked by life with the Lord Jesus, but it's linked by life and death here on earth. That's the work of redemption. That's the basic principle of the redemption that God brings in, first of all. The second one, notice, is the shekel of the sanctuary. That's a beautiful picture. It is again a picture of the Lord Jesus. When you look back in Exodus chapter 28, when God brings in the shekel of the sanctuary for the first time, He brings it in relation to the half shekel of the people. And then He changes its value. And He gives it a constant value of 20 gerahs. That's what it is. Irrespective of what the shekel was worth in the trade market. You might buy a sheep today for 500 shekels. And when you brought it to the sanctuary, if the market was up, the shekel of the sanctuary gave it a price consistent with the appreciation and evaluation of God. And it was always the same. My brethren, that's the Lord Jesus and His redemption. The shekel of redemption has a value in the sanctuary that God has placed upon it. And my dear brethren and sisters here tonight, the value of your calling as a Levite to service for God is linked with the value of the man in the sanctuary. The man in heaven tonight, God has a value on the person of the Lord Jesus, and that value evaluates you. That's what He's saying. According to the shekel of the sanctuary, that's what He's worth. That's what that young girl is worth tonight. Oh, my dear sister, do not seek to estimate your value by the fact that you are not able to take a public position. That is not what's going to give value to your service when you're alone in prayer, praying for the saints, praying for that Sunday school class, praying for the preaching of the gospel. It's not the fact of whether you're seen or heard. It's the value that God has put upon you because of the person of His Son. The value of the shekel of the sanctuary is placed as the value of the Levite. My, what a value. Again, let me say, my dear young brother, the world's going to put a value on you after the shekel of the world. It might be 50,000 a year. Maybe it'll be 100. Wouldn't that be something? You wouldn't mind trying that for a year, would you? 100,000. And I'd like to tell you, my brother, and as my God and yours looks down upon you tonight, she's the shekel of the value of the sanctuary, and it's more than 100,000 a year. Far more. Levitical service has its priority because it takes its value from the shekel of the sanctuary. The third value is the redemption money that is paid. There is silver that is brought to the sanctuary. There's an estimation that comes out of the man's pocket. God gave the value. He told how much it should be. And they brought it. And as they laid it into the treasury of God, you know what God links alongside with that? He says, they shall be wholly given unto me. Wholly given unto me. As they bring their shekel of silver in order for the redemption money. That's how God is going to call them. Can you see, brethren, the value God is putting upon a Levite? He might just be a little five-footer, you know. He's not going to be maybe a big muscle man or any such a thing as that. And he may not even have the nicest personality that you might want to have or him to have. And you know, if you ask a few people, you'd find that I do that too, you know. There's a bit of sandpaper there somehow or other. Don't you wish you could get rid of it sometimes and make it all so smooth? Well, I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, it's fun being a little sandpaper sometimes. You understand what I mean? It isn't a question of saying that you are of no value because that man there doesn't think you have the right kind of a personality. My brethren, your value of usefulness for God is linked with these four things that we have looked at. The high priest, first of all. Secondly, a case of life and death. That's for earth. That's the great truth of being brought into Levitical service on the basis of birth, life given, and death, a place of salvation. And furthermore, by the shekel of the sanctuary, you are valued. And also,
We will offer a redemption moment with which God links a person or a holy given unto me. Oh, I think that's beautiful. I know there are minds here tonight and they are rightly thinking of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. My dear brother and sister, Romans 12 and 1 is not an option. Romans 12 and 1 is a consequence. It's the automatic result of the believer that sees those first 8 chapters of Romans. And as he enters into it, and even chapters 9 and 10 and 11, God is going to illustrate a very beautiful truth of the wonder of his grace as he brings in the unworthy and makes of them a glory to his name. That's chapter 9, 10, and 11. Don't relegate it all to prophecy, brethren. Not at all. It's in Romans, and it belongs there, right in that place. But from those illustrations, and from the truth of the first 8 chapters, God automatically reads from Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now that's not something you have to make yourself to be. That's the result of the first 8 chapters. You are holy. You are acceptable unto God. Can you not see the automatic result of those chapters? How could I do otherwise than to be like a Levite? God called me. God's linked me with Aaron. God has given me a value after the shekel of the man and the glory. God has linked me with life and death in his holy service. What more can I do, Lord, but to say, take me and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. My beloved brethren, from our hearts tonight in the presence of the Lord Jesus, is it not deep-rooted in your soul and in mine tonight, that until my last breath, may it be the language of my heart. Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine, my rock and my fortress, my surety divine. How does the third verse go? Lord Jesus, I love thee. In life, or in death, many magnifies that. Should the death do lie cold on my brow? What is he saying? Oh Lord, help me, say, Lord Jesus. I hope that's written on your heart and minds, my brother. We're linked with Aaron. We're linked with a value that God has placed that's unchangeable. We're linked with life and death as a result. Here I am, Lord. Holy thine, that's the call. Look with me, if I can, then, where did they come? Here is this Levite, and now God is going to show him that he's linked with a banner. Ha ha, how precious. Can you see that young man? How old is he? 20 years old. 20 years old. But I would like you to notice that their calling didn't start at 20. That's their service. Their calling started at 20. The moment that you were born of God, you called a Levite. Where did they camp? There is that 20-year-old, and he's given a place. Some of them, as you will notice in these different families, the east side, that is before the doors, that's where Moses and Aaron were, as you will notice, and those that camped with them there in verse 38 of chapter 3. We read that Moses and Aaron and his sons keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons. Now let me just try to link this, brethren, eastward. Whenever you read of east, can I say for those who are young here tonight,
in relation to the tabernacle or the hope of Israel or prophetic subjects relative to Israel and God brings in the east, he's always looking toward the sunrise. As you and I know that well. What is he looking for? He's looking for Malachi chapter 3. And the Son of Righteousness will rise here in Israel. They're looking for their Lord, their Messiah. That's the east. Now, if you and I were to stand and look at the tabernacle eastward, we would be looking west, but we would be looking at the east end. And there is Moses and Aaron and their son. There they camp. They're looking for the rising sun. Can I say, my dear brethren, and of course, the standard of the camp of Judah was the one that was in the forefront. There was the tribes of Judah, and you will recall that we noticed yesterday afternoon, and they're parked their camp right in the front there, beyond Moses and Aaron and his sons. But they're always facing the east. My dear brethren and sisters, can I say kindly to each of our hearts tonight, I think we need a revival in our soul to be looking east, looking for the rising of the sun. I ask my soul the question, and I had to acknowledge before God today. I asked myself again today, Jim Smith, did you sing one song today about the Lord's return? Are you looking for toward the east? Are you looking for the sun to rise? Now I know that prophetically speaking, the Son of Righteousness does not relate to us, the church. It relates to me, to Israel, in the day of their restoration, when the Lord will come with great glory in power and blessing to shine upon them and set up his kingdom. But my brethren, just ere that sun rises, just the other morning, I went for a walk here, and the moon was so beautiful and bright. And you know the morning sky there, still in the heaven, before the sun rose, over the sunrise, walking out there in that cemetery, across the road from the wells there. Such a beautiful sight it was. And the morning star just shining there. Brother, that's what we're looking for. We're waiting. We're looking east. That's the hope. And all the purposes of God, all things that are related to that tabernacle, always face east. God wanted them looking for the coming of his blessing and the coming of his son. Now there's a principle that's going to mark your Levitical service, dear young brother and sister, all your service for God in relation to the things of God and to his presence in the midst of his people, because that's what God wanted. He wanted to be amongst them, and he wanted them around him. That was his delight. And my dear brethren, it gives God, our God in his infinite greatness, holy pleasure when he sees you take a place in the meeting. Because that's where he wants you. You around him, and him in the midst of his people. Oh, the preciousness of it. My brethren, these things are so real, so great and real to the heart of God, and they're real to our heart. Younger one, may God graciously write it upon you and help you to see the value of being in the place where God would have you be. And remember, the first thing to characterize us is keep our eye on the banner of Judah, the King of Kings. He leads us forth. We're subjects of his kingdom. But he's the promise. He's linked with the rising sun, the king, the coming of the king. And the sun are linked together in the purposes of God for Israel. And the sun and the king are linked together in God's purposes for you. May we keep our eye on him as we seek to set forward and move forward in the wilderness and as we camp to bear testimony to his name. On the north side, now if you're looking at the tabernacle, looking at it from the front, the right-hand side is the north, and there was the family of the Levites, the Merarites. That's where they camped. And, of course, on the north side was the banner of Dan. The banner of Dan, as we noticed, deals with the judgeship of the Lord Jesus. He is judge. Oh, thank God he is judge, brethren. Who would want another judge? Any other judge may fail, may be unrighteous, may be unjust, may be uncompassionate, may be without mercy, and certainly without his love. But oh, what a judge. Thank God the Lord Jesus is the judge of my life, the judge of my heart, and your judge, the judge of all that you do, and all that you think, and all your attitudes. He is the judge of all. And you are Merari. Now we will not have time at all. Of course, we might have time to do anything like this, that's my fault. So I'll be closing here in 3 minutes. We'll be done. But let me note with you that these families, the meaning of the names of these men is so meaningful in the character of their service. But all I'm going to take time to note with you now is the position that God put them in. Here are God's people, and they're linked with the banner of judgment. Can I say, brethren, first of all, we look for his coming. Secondly, it's the north side that comes next in God's order here. Secondly, he wants us to have constant evaluation. That's 1 Corinthians 3. That's Romans chapter 14. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's what we're looking for, brethren. And that's what the attitude of our Levitical service and our calling should be. Always under the evaluating eye of him who is coming. You'll notice the third area that's mentioned is the south side, and that is Kohath. That links itself with Reuben, the banner of the sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the south side, as we would often think of, particularly as we read Isaiah and read again in the Song of Solomon, we find it has to do with the pleasantness of the soft wind that blows across the garden, that brings healing and brings blessing and comfort. And now here are a people, and this is the third thing that God marks out about them. First, to keep their eye on the Lord's coming. Secondly, to be constantly under the evaluating eye of the risen Lord, the judge. And thirdly, that's linked with the greatness, the deity, the dignity of the sonship of Christ. Ah, brethren, that's where there's healing. That's the place of restfulness. That's the banner of joy. The sonship of Christ, because the sonship, the eternal, unoriginated sonship of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, it's both the basis and it's the comprehensiveness of sufficiency of all the fullness of Christ. Every attribute of deity and every glory and every virtue of the fullness of his eternal person is all comprised, it's all comprehended in that title, Son of God. All the greatness of the sole person able to represent, to magnify, display the Father in whom dwelleth bodily all the virtues of God. Ah, beloved, may God help us to appreciate the wonder of it. You can rest in that. That's what gives dignity to the Levite. And that's what gives rest, comfort to his souls. The last one we notice is the west side in verse 23 of the passage, which is Gershom, linked with the lordship of Christ, the banner of Ephraim. Now I close tonight, but I wish to leave this with us, dear brethren. Can I just put that little pattern in our mind tonight? There is a Levite. Here I am tonight, a Levite, called by God, linked with Aaron. God has given me a value and a value to my service. That is so humbling to my heart. You know, if I were to evaluate my own service, God only knows, and he does know. He knows what all of us go through, and we get down on our knees, perhaps after a meeting, and we ask God, why did he? We wonder sometimes, Lord, why did you call us at all? Am I really doing the right thing? You wonder, you marvel at the grace of God that he takes up such weakness. But my dear brother, let me tell you, the value of the shekel of the sanctuary is written. May God help us to see that. Linked with our Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God.
then he puts us into the position where we're going to be linked with the sunrise, with the east. We're linked with the north, the west, and the south. And those banners, not only does he ask us to uphold them, brethren, but he asks us to live by them. Live beneath their shadow. May that be our portion as we seek to serve him. And if the Lord will graciously help us, we will seek to notice a little concerning their consecration and their charge, if our Lord be not come for me. Our Father, from our hearts we do wish to thank thee that it was ever found in thy great heart to call us and to save us, to sanctify us, to fill our hands for thyself. O God, this is nobility. This is honor. We are totally unworthy. We never could be worthy. We have nothing to boast of, and yet we have so much to rejoice in. We thank thee for making us thine, and we do thank thee we're linked with the great high priest. Oh, the preciousness, not only of being linked in life, but being linked in service, and we have been given wholly unto him. Oh God, we humbly bow to thee tonight. Thou art so gracious to us in saving us and giving us entirely to the Lord Jesus. He is so worthy. We look upon his wounded hands and feet and sigh. We fain would embrace him tonight in all our weakness and unworthiness, and thankfully be able to say, he is my Lord and he is my God. We bless thee for the privilege of carrying the banner of his name. Help us, Lord, to do so honorably until we see his face. Do graciously exercise us, Lord, to look to the east day by day. He is coming, perhaps tonight. O God, lift our eye and receive grateful thanks for being amongst the Levites. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Let us stand. Sing together 447. 447.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. We will sing verses 1 and 3 of 447. Thank you for coming, dear brothers and sisters, and do remember the meeting tomorrow night, our Lord has not returned.